ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं नमामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तम् तन्नो दुर्गिर्प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Let us recite a verse relevant to today's class.
इन्द्रियाणामधिष्ठात्री
भूतानां चाखिलेषु या चाखिलेषु या भूतानां चाखिलेषु या भूतेषु सततं तस्यै व्याप्तिदेव्यै नमो नमः. So in this first, this Upanishad, Prashna Upanishad, we saw yesterday the first chapter. I think in 2 days we covered the first chapter of the Upanishad, which is entitled as the first Prashna, and which subject matter of which forms the answer for the first question asked by the first one of the six disciples, Kabandhi. So Kabandhi's question was, what is that origin from which all the beings have come into existence? What is the source of all the beings that are here? Where have they come from? That was the question. So the question is based on creation. The question happens to be regarding the creation. The main topic that discussed in the first chapter is creation, srishtihi. And in no other Upanishad, this mithuna srishtihi is presented. So presentation of srishti in the form of mithunam, a mutually complementary pairs, is very unique to this Prashna Upanishad, because generally we divide this world into pairs of opposites. They are known as Dvandvaha. And then when you look at these pairs of opposites, Dvandvaha, they are looked upon as the pairs or of opposites, two opposite factors. In Dvandvaha, you use the term Dvandvaha, there the two factors of the pair are opposed, are opposites. Whereas in Mithunam, we don't look at the two factors as opposites, but look at them as the mutually complementary pair. This is something very unique and beautiful approach. So what is the advantage, what is the benefit, the greatest advantage of this, seeing these two factors being equally important, even though they are different and distinct, the opposites, it helps us develop acceptance. For example, we say birth and death, or life and death, or growth and decay, or pain or pleasure. All these opposites actually, in fact, we can understand life and death Both factors form the integral part of the entire creation. So pain and pleasure also, success or failure, loss or gain, defeat or victory, honor or dishonor, all these dvandvas, we simply look at them as opposites. It only may help make us develop hatred or passion or aversion towards them. But look at them as pairs of mutually complementary factors, and without which our experience will be incomplete. One without the other will make our experience incomplete. The experience of both makes our experience complete, make the life complete. So, you know, the holistic vision is given in different way, that all these parts are, even though they're different and distinct and they seem to be opposites, but still they form the integral part of the life, and they are mutually complementary. This understanding, appreciation of this fact helps us develop acceptance. So we avoid resistance. This is the greatest advantage. Then, the Srishti was presented in 5 stages as Mithuna Srishti, Loka Srishti, Kala Srishti, Anna Srishti and Praja Srishti. In between, a slight diversion also was there, and mainly the 2 gatis also were discussed. The discussion on Shukla Gatihi and Krishna Gatihi, and the destinations in terms of Swargalokaha and Brahmalokaha. Then the 3rd important topic was the 3 disciplines were emphasized. Tapaha, Shraddha, Brahmacharyam, these 3 disciplines were emphasized. These are the 3 main factors we have to remember in the first chapter. 3 points we have to remember is Srishtihi in terms of Mithunam, as mutually complementary pairs which contributes for developing acceptance. And second thing, the 2 gatis, then Shraddha, Tapaha, Brahmacharyam, 3-fold disciplines. These are the 3 points we have to remember in the first chapter. Finished. Is it clear? Finished. First chapter is over. Now we have to enter into the 2nd chapter. See, we should not forget this fact that Prashna Upanishad is a Brahmana Upanishad of the Mundaka Upanishad, which is a Mantra Upanishad of the same Atharva Veda. And in that Mundaka Upanishad, Paravidya and Aparavidya both were discussed. Of course, Aparavidya, we all know very well, Brahma Jnanam, the knowledge of the absolute reality, is the Aparavidya, sorry, Paravidya. And Aparavidya, of course, kinds of 2 important factors, karma and upasanam. Karma, upasanam, better let you learn to use Sanskrit terms. Karma, performance of rituals, all forms of activities come under the category of karma, and which presupposes the knowledge, isn't it? You cannot do any karma without the knowledge. To do anything, you need to know how to do, isn't it? So, when you say karma and upasam, it implies what? Knowledge of the performance of rituals, the know-who of rituals, and also the practice of meditation. Therefore, karma and upasanam form the aparavidya. Brahma vidya is the paravidya. So, in that Mundaka Upanishad, actually, the karma topic alone, karma, was discussed elaborately. Usually, karma, the topic of karma is discussed elaborately, where the limitations of karma, etc., are discussed. But Upasanam is discussed only in only one verse, one mantra. So in this Prashna Upanishad, Upasanam is elaborately discussed. The meditation, the Aparavidya, under the topic of Aparavidya, the Upasanam is taken. Upasanam is elaborately discussed in this Prashna Upanishad. In Mundaka Upanishad, Karma is discussed elaborately. In Prashna Upanishad, Upasanam is discussed elaborately. But both come under the category of Aparavidya, that you know. Now, Upasanam, what is Upasanam? Upasanam means immediately should say it's a Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. You have to memorize that definition of Upasanam. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha Upasanam. Of course, in Upanishad, Vedantic topic, Vedantic meditation is what? Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, which is contemplation, that is different. That is Nididhyasanam. Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, which is there, that is Nididhyasanam, contemplation, which presupposes the Shravanam and Mananam, that is different topic. But here Upasanam as the Aparavidya, as the category coming under the category of this Aparavidya, Upasanam, the topic, here is Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. So what is the Upasanam prescribed here in this particular Upanishad? Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is discussed. Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is prescribed in this Prashna Upanishad. The Upasanam is actually discussed only in the third section, the third chapter, as an answer to the third question. But before entering into the actual Upasanam, in the second chapter, Hiranyagarbha Stutihi is presented. The second chapter, that is Hiranyagarbha Stutihi, is presented. The third chapter, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is discussed. Why Hiranyagarbha Stutihi, Hiranyagarbha Stavaha, the glory of Hiranyagarbha is discussed here? Because for us to be able to have devotion, reverence, respect, we need to know the glories. When we appreciate, understand the glories of Hiranyagarbha, then it will be easy for us to have reverence, then to have devotion also. Always Stuti is presented. So here, who is Hiranyagarbha? What is Hiranyagarbha? Hiranyagarbha again is another concept. This Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahita Chaitanyam. Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam Hiranyagarbha. Yesterday also we saw the three names, Prajapatihi, Hiranyagarbha, Brahmaji, all these words you know very well. Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam is equal to Hiranyagarbha. See, what is Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam Hiranyagarbha? When you say the total subtle manifestation, this total subtle universe, or the subtle universe in its entirety is looked upon as the manifestation of the consciousness, knowledge. Then you give this title Hiranyagarbha. So here, How Hiranyagarbha is glorious, if you say, it is Samashti Sukshma Shariram alone is in the form of Vyashti Sukshma Shariram in every individual being. Samashti Sukshma Shariram alone is in the form of Vyashti Sukshma Shariram in every individual. If you don't understand, please keep on listening, which means there is a missing link. Like what? If I say the entire ocean pervades every individual wave, means what? There cannot be something called wave without the ocean. The ocean pervades every wave. The total pervades the individual. Samashtihi vyaktam vyapnoti. Vyaktim vyapnoti. Vyashtim vyapnoti. The total pervades the individual. Macrocosm pervades the microcosm. The total pervades the individual. Therefore, Samashti Sukshma Shariram Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of every individual Sukshma Shariram. Got this point? So don't ask me what is Sukshma Shariram. Now, we can understand. So without the Sukshma Shariram, Sthula Shariram cannot survive. The life of the Sthula Shariram is dependent on what now? The Sukshma Shariram only. It is the presence of the Sukshma Shariram gives life for the Sthula Shariram. The departure of Sukshma Shariram is taken to be understood to be the death of the Sthula Shariram. Therefore, life itself, we can say Sukshma Shariram is the very life of every being here, every individual being here, living being. Therefore, it is so Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of life of every individual. Now, what are those? So, all these 17 factors constitute the Sukshma Shariram. You know, Pancha Jnana Indriyani, Pancha Karma Indriyani, then Pancha Pranaha, then Buddhihi, Ahang, Buddhihi, Manaha. We can say Chittam Ahankara, we can leave also. We can say Ahankara, 17. If you take Chittam and Ahankara, then 19. So, 4 aspects of the Antakkaranam, then 5 physiological functions, 5 sense powers, 5 powers of organs of actions, totally 19 of them or 17 of them constitute the individual Sukshma Shariram, Vyashti Sukshma Shariram, which is nothing but part of the Samashti Sukshma Prapanchaha, which is otherwise called Hiranyagarbha. You have to remember. Therefore, the life of the sthulam is dependent on the existence of the presence of the Sukshma Shariram. This itself is what? The glory of Hiranyagarbha only. Therefore, here how it is presented. Now, in the Sukshma Shariram also, all these 19 factors, we ask, which is the most exalted of all the 19 factors? Relative sense, okay? Of all these 19 factors, all these 19 factors together constitute an individual Sukshma Shariram. Which is the exalted of all the 19 factors? Jnanendriyani or Karmendriyani or Pranaha, or Antakkanam, which one is the exalted? If the question comes, then definitely we have to understand Pranaha. Prana is the most exalted of all the subtle aspects. Why? Because without the prana, sense organs cannot function. Without the prana, organs of actions cannot function. Without the prana, even thinking is not possible. Without the prana, even buddhi will not work. Buddhi cannot function. Without the prana, nothing you will remember. Okay, without energy, if you faint, you won't even know that you are there. Whenever, suppose somebody faints, until the person wakes up from fainting, you won't even know that he is there, like in deep sleep. Even in sleep, when all the sense organs, organs of actions, antakaram, everything is non-functional also, pranas are continuously functioning. Pranas should be functioning. Should be functional. Pranas never stop. Isn't it? Therefore, pranaha is looked upon as the most exalted of all the 19 factors. Now, from here, we have to understand, so vyashti pranaha, of the 19 factors which constitute an individual sukshma shariram, individual prana is the exalted. Now you can say, the corresponding samashti pranaha is the most exalted of all the samashti indriyani, everything. Ever, who is the most exalted here? Here Hiranyagarbha is invoked, glorified as the samashti pranaha. Because samashti manaha, samashti antahkaranani, or again samashti indriyani, samashti shaktihi, omnipotent Lord. Hiranyagarbha, you can say what? Omnipotent Lord. So it is the prana shaktihi alone is manifest as the indriya shaktihi, buddhi shaktihi, manas shaktihi. Isn't it? Therefore, samashti pranaha, Hiranyagarbha is glorified as the samashti pranaha. Got it now? Samashti pranaha. Therefore here, in this second chapter, in Hiranyagarbha is glorified as the samashti pranaha, the most exalted being, devata. And how it is given here, it seems all these indriyani, the five elements, indriyani, karma indriyani, jnana indriyani, manaha, all of them here are, this is a story, this is presented here, they are all personified here. It seems indriyani are going to speak. They are all personified. And then there's a dispute, there's a quarrel among all these factors. And everyone is going to claim one's superiority. Indriyani, karma indriyani are going to say, we are superior. Jnanendriyani will say, no, we are superior. And prana, like that, mind also will say, we are superior. Like all of them here, each factor, all these subtle factors, are personified here. And then it seems there is a quarrel, a dispute between all of them, and each power claims its superiority. And finally, they'll accept that prana is the superior. How it is given, we'll see here. So in the first mantra, of the second chapter, how we saw before, in the second chapter, there's a question, and who is the always there's a question is given here, and his answer is going to come. So here the question is asked by another student, Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi. Kabandhi Katyayanaha was the first disciple who asked the first question. Now here the second section, the second question is asked by the second disciple called Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi. Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi. Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi is asking the second question here. Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi. Like you, this question also you can write down. He asks, in one question, he puts three questions, okay? What are they? First he says, Hey Bhagavan, don't forget the name of the Guru who here, Pippaladaha, Bhagavan Pippaladaha, the teacher, and here Vaidarbhihi, Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi, is the name of the disciple, and he is asking the first question, Hey Bhagavan, Kati Devaha, Prajam Vidharayante, the first question. Kati Devaha Prajam Vidharayante. From the query question you have to learn a lot, okay? The second question is Kataraha Yetat Prakashayante. Second question. Kataraha Yetat Prakashayante. Kataraha Yetat Prakashayante. The third question. Kaha Yesham, Kaha Yesham Varishtaha. Finished. Kaha Yesham Varishtaha. Repeat the question again. Three questions. Who is the student here? Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi is a second disciple. He asks his Guruhu Pippaladaha, Hey Bhagavan, Kati Devaha Prajam Dharayante. Kati Devaha Prajam Dharayante. Kataraha Yetat Prakashayante. Third one. Kaha Yesham Varishtaha. Let me make this first question clear, then I can go to the answer. See, Bhagavan is the most respectful way of addressing the male teacher. Hey Bhagavan. Then, Kati is an indeclinable word which means how many. Kati, not Kati. Okay? People who don't know Tamil don't know problem. Okay? Kati, how many? Devaha. Okay? Devaha here, or any natural phenomenon is called, is known as what? Devaha or Devata. In plural, Devaha. And here, you can say all the principles. How many principles? Now, next word, Prajam. See, Praja. The word Praja here means not progeny. Be careful. In which here the word Prajam means the physical body. So So vidharayante means sustain, support, hold the body integrated. All of you know very well. See, the very question will make you think a lot. Vidharanam means holding, keeping it integrated. What are the principles which make the physical body remain integrated without getting disintegrated? Now what happened? Pooja Swamiji's body, now the sacred body, since underneath now, isn't it? Whether cremated or buried, what happens? Will get integrated. Suppose if prana was present, it would have held what now? Is it? The sukshma shairam is in the body, it holds the body integrated. The sukshma leaves, it becomes disintegrated. So something must be, what makes the body, keeps the body, no, what makes it remain integrated? That's called what now? Sustaining. It's called sustenance or supporting. What keeps the body remain integrated, sustained and supported without falling? Good words or Sanskrit words are amazingly expressive. You have to use so many English words you have to use to make it really clear. Isn't it? Vidharayante. Kati devaha prajam vidharayante. What does it mean? Kati devaha sharirani etani sharirani vidharayante. Now the question comes, why do we say the any phenomenon, every natural phenomenon is looked upon as devata, devaha? Devaha is the masculine word, devata is the feminine word. Why do we use that word? But that's why we use the term principles, isn't it? Because there's everything which seems to be inert. See, what are these devatas, devaha here? What are all the subtle factors indwelling the gross body? No, sustain, support and keep this physical body remain integrated. What are all the factors, subtle factors? That's the meaning. What are all the, how many subtle factors indwelling the gross physical body? You all know the answer very well. 19, you immediately will say that. What are all, there how many subtle factors indwelling the gross body, supporting the gross body, keep the body integrated, sustained? How many? Which means, what are they? Also the question. The question is, why do we call it, suppose we take, okay, five subtle sense powers, jnana indriyani, five powers, the pancha karma indriyani, five pranas, no, manaha, buddhi, chittam, ahankara, you can say this. But if we took these powers separately, all of them are what? Inert. All the powers are inert. Inert powers only. But here, even though they are all inert by themselves, there is no power. Nothing here is without the consciousness. Everything is essentially Chaitanyam only. Therefore, we always, if you say, what do you see there? You may say, I see the river. When you say you see the river, what you don't say, you should say this river is because of what? Water only. The same way, every phenomenon, anything you say is, means what? It is consciousness only there. Therefore, when you look at everything as manifestation of consciousness, as the consciousness with, isn't it? So, sukshma shariram, with the consciousness only we say. Therefore, everything here is illumination of consciousness, manifestation of consciousness. When you look at an inert material power also, as the manifestation of consciousness, you use the term Devaha, principle. Is it clear? It is not a mere, why use the term Devaha? All these subtle powers, subtle factors, which indwell the gross body, which keeps the body sustained and integrated, support the body. You know, the word Devaha is used. A very important question. Therefore, hey Bhagavan, kati Devaha prajam vidharayante? First question. We are going to see the answer later on. Then, kataraha etat prakashayante? Which means the student already knows very well what? Without the sukshma shariram, the sthula shariram cannot remain integrated or supported, sustained. It will fall apart. Sthula shariram will fall apart, gets disintegrated. Therefore, the question is asking. Now, the next question is, kataraha etat prakashayante? Kataraha means, of all these different devas, different principles, different factors, subtle factors, kataraha etat prakashayante, who all exhibit their glories, who all claim their superiority by talking about their own glories. We are going to see now, all of them are going to fight each other, isn't it? Of all these, how many of them are there? And of all, who are all the devas, which are all the principles, which are all the factors, which are revealing their glories, exhibiting their glories, and then claim their superiority? Who are all going to claim? That's the question. Then the third question is, Yesham Varishtaha Kaha. Varishtaha, the exalted, the most exalted of all these 19, no, the factors. Or 17 factors, you can say, who is the most exalted of all these 17 principles? 17 subtle factors, totally. Who is the most exalted? For all these subtle factors, who is the most exalted? Kaha varishtaha yesham? This is the question asked. Three questions are asked. See, when you say not only these factors, one thing, a very important thing we need to remember is, everything here is a devata. Every phenomenon is a devata. Devaha. Did you have to remember? Now we say Surya Devata, Suryaha, Surya Devata, Chandra Devata, Varuna Devata. Only when you look at it as devata, you can say devata is blessing us. Because only a consciousness principle can bless. An inert thing cannot bless. Who can bless? This is the blessing of Bhagavan in the form of Surya Devata. Blessing of Bhagavan in the form of Varuna Devata. When the rains come also, blessing of Bhagavan of Varuna Devata. Without the blessing means, an inert principle cannot bless. An inert thing cannot bless. Therefore, even though they seem to be inert, for us now somebody must come and talk to you, only then you will believe, isn't it? They seem to be inert, they look like inert things. There is nothing which is devoid of consciousness. Everything is essentially inseparably with the consciousness only. Therefore, everything is looked upon as Devaha or Devata. This is the one thing, important thing you have to remember. Then, so here, Pranaha is the most exalted of all these Devatas. Prana is the most exalted of all these devatas. This whole story is going to be It is going to show us now. In a very quickly, in a small story form, we'll see. So what he says, all these subtle factors, all these different principles, together, they claim their superiority. That is given in the next, second mantra. The second mantra, the teacher gives the answer. Kati, what was the first question? Kati devaha prajam vidharayante. How many subtle factors or how many devas keep the physical system sustained, supported and integrated? That is the first question, isn't it? For the answer is given in the second question by the teacher. He says 24 factors. Chatur vimshati tattvani. Do you remember Tattvabodha class? Chatur vimshati tattvani. What are they here? First five elements. He says first five elements he mentions. Akashaha. You can write down this one. Second mantra. The answer given is what? The answer for the first question is given in the second mantra. I'm going to give you the important words. I'll tell you. 24 Chatur Vimshati Tattvani. 24 factors. Akash, first five elements. Then Pancha Jnanendriyani, five sense organs. Then five organs of actions. Five physiological functions. Okay? Then Manaha Buddhi Chittam Ahankaraha. Four factors. Totally 24. Five elements, five sense organs, five organs of actions, four physiological functions, then four aspects which constitute the antakkaranam. What are they? Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, totally 24. Manaha buddhihi chittam ahankaraha. I'll tell you. So here you can ask yourself first. These are the devas. Akashaha, vayuhu, agnihi. Akashaha, vayuhu, agnihi, apaha, prithivi. He says five elements. Then he doesn't mention everything. He doesn't narrate everything. Walk, he says. Only word used here is walk. That one organ of speech, walk, indriyam, one organ of action stands for all the five organs of actions. Then chakshuhu, shrotram, two sense organs stand for all the sense organs. So all these factors, now we can ask this question. How does space support the physical body, if you ask? Space gives, first of all, what? Space. Akashaha gives avakasha pradata akashaha. First, who gives the accommodation for the physical body? Space. Akashaha. Then you know vayuhu. How each element contributes, isn't it? Supports the physical system. Then Agni gives the heat for the body. Then water. Then earth. Of course, earth gives food also. Isn't that like this? How all the elements also support the physical body. All of them support. So here, all these 24 factors, among them, except the prana. Look at except the prana, the rest of them all quarrel. And then they all claim their superiority, it seems. That is said in the second mantra. And how? What do they say? Exhibiting their importance, presenting their importance, vayametat vanam avashtabhya vidharayamaha. we only, each element says, and each the karmendriyani say, jnanendriyani say, all of them say what? Vayameva means we alone sustaining the body, supporting the body, keep the body integrated. I won't write this one sentence there, important sentence you need to write from the second mantra is Vayam Yetad, Vayam Yetad Banam Vayam Yetad Banam Avashtabhya Vayam Yetad Banam Avashtabhya Vidharayamaha. This is a sentence from the second mantra. Vayam Yetad Banam Avashtabhya Vidharayamaha. See, in this, except the prana, all of them, actually really exalted prana remains quiet. Except prana, all other organs, they come, they're presented here. Now they're personified. Vayam yetad banam avashtabhya vidharayamaha. So we alone sustain this body, supporting them, keeping them integrated. Avashtabhya means holding the body together as an integrated one. Avashtabhya means holding the body together, integrated, supported. We alone sustain. And the word banam here means body. So you get learning new words today, isn't it? The word banam. Banam means body. It's a nice way of doing it, isn't it? Without making you feel the whole thing. Important I'm telling you here. Anyways, isn't it? To learn. Imagine every, you know, that each element comes as in a personified, okay? Akasha comes, Vayu comes, each one comes personified here. And then each one comes and claims, you know, how important I am, exhibits one's own importance, revealing one's own importance, proclaiming, declaring one's own importance, and each one says what? We only contribute for this sustaining, supporting of sustain this body, holding it integrated. Without me, the body would have fallen. That's what each one claims. So, vayameva, we alone sustain this physical body, supporting the body, holding it integrated. Avashtabhya. The word banam means body. I told you already, the word banam here means body. Interesting thing for you to know, why the body is something unwanted thing, okay? Extra information I want to give you. Why the body is called banam? Body is called banam. Physical, shariram, you know. Dehaha, you know. In Sanskritam, every word has its meaning. Body is called dehaha, dahyamanatvat dehaha. That which is subject to get burnt. Dahana yogyatvat dehaha. Subject to get burnt, okay? It consume born of calorie. Again, what is it? It's burning calorie all the time. Guys are burnt also inside. And then shariram, it's called shariram. Shiryamana subhavatvat shariram uchityate. That which is subject to fall apart. Where? And now, the word banam, now banam means, actually, banam is another word for vanam. Vanam. And Vanam, Vanam. Vana means that which goes. That which goes. It do not, we won't be here, okay? That which goes is pogakudiyadhu. That's the meaning. Vanam means that which goes is Vanam. Vanam, Vanam. One meaning. Vanam. And then one more meaning is there. Vana means kutsita gandhavatu, that which stings. Snanamannale, that which stings. The minute ji prana goes, bharya bibhyati tasmin kahaye. You know, wife will be scared of the body, isn't it? Once the prana goes, who will fondle the body, care for the body, isn't it? Body, that which stings. Body is called vanam because the very meaning is what? That which stings. Another meaning is that which goes. Therefore, the words used are very funny words here. The very word tells you what? The nature of the physical body. And the question also asks, are you this stinking body then? You have to ask the question, am I just this body? Anyway, so, he says, we only sustain this, support this body, keeping it, holding it integrated. They all argue. Then what happens? The third mantra comes. Second mantra is over. The first mantra, you know, first mantra has questions from Bhargavaha Vibardhihi, Vaidarbhihi. Then the answer comes in the second mantra. So the second mantra gives an answer for first two questions. The second mantra gives answer for first two questions. How many principles are there which sustain the body? Further question is, answer is given in the first sentence. I said 24 factors. Then the second question, of them, which are all the factors, principles, who are all the devas who claim their superiority, boasting their importance, claiming their importance, for which the second question also is answered in the second mantra. Except prana, all the factors, they all claim their superiority and importance. Akasha comes and tells, no, without me, the body cannot survive. The same way, that's what implied here. All the elements, all the factors. The third answer for the third question is given in the third mantra. So, this prana stuti is given in the form of a story, isn't it? When all these other factors, sense organs, organs of actions, antakkaranam, all of them, you know, claim their superiority, then prana comes and tells them. Which prana? The most exalted of all these factors, the prana, tells in the third mantra, moham ma apadyate, may you not be deluded. All these factors he tells, may you all not be deluded. Actually, prana says, I only dividing myself into five principles, five factors, fivefold principles. I only keeping the body here, support the body, keeping it integrated. It is I, myself, dividing myself into five tattvams, sustain the body, holding it integrated. Who tells this to whom? Pranaha tells all other principles. When they claimed their superiority, the exalted prana came and told all the other principles, "May you not be deluded, be very clear. It is me, it is I, dividing myself into five factors, five tattvams. I only sustain this body, keeping it integrated." When the prana says this, all other devatas ignored. They did not have any, they did not believe, did not have faith in the words of prana. They just ignored. Then, when they ignored, that is the, Atma just given the third mantra. When the fourth mantra comes, when all other devas, and we at least use the term, all other devas means karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, all other devas ignored the prana statement, they did not believe, did not respect, then prana wanted to teach a lesson. Prana wanted to show its superiority. But prana did not want to punish other devas. Prana only wanted to teach a lesson, to correct their perception. So what did the prana do? That is said in the fourth mantra. So prana felt really swabhimanam. Okay? Prana had what I want to express, no? Self-respect was there. So the prana, as though prana was going out, prana went out as though. Prana did not go out permanently. For some time, just to show. Prana left the body, went out of the body as though. Went out as it were, left as it were. Veli pona madri, went out as it were. Then what happened? The minute when the prana went out, all the other devatas, all the devas also left. When the prana left, all of them kundodu kailasam, isn't it? All of them left together. Then when all of them, when the prana returned, and all of them returned. When the prana returned, all of them returned. When the prana left as it were, all of them left. When the prana returned, all of them returned. So like what? Here this is interesting way of putting it. You know, this example is given here. So usually when the honeybee goes out, all of them, they fly together. Suppose when a queen bee or a king bee, you know, Madhukara Raja, he says, Madhukara Raja, the king of all the bees, one goes out, then following that, all the bees go together. When one goes out, all of them go. When it comes back, all of them come back. Just as this, the queen bee or the king bee, the honeybee, when it goes out, all the workers bee also, they go behind the king bee. The same way, here also when the prana left as it were, all of them left. The prana returned, all of them returned. Which shows what? Without the prana, all other factors cannot survive, function, remain independently. So what the lesson taught here is, without the prana, sense powers or powers of organs of actions or the antakaranam, nothing can function. And in Chandogya Upanishad, also this example is given here. One teacher you know, made a student starve, you know, for some 2 weeks or something, made him starve. And after 2 weeks, she asked him, come now, you chant the mantras. That too, to chant any other mantra is okay. Samaveda mantra, you have to really recite also. Samagana, isn't it? You need a lot of energy. Without having eaten for some time, this person did not have, could not chant anything. Because no energy. Not he could not chant, he didn't remember also. When you are starving, you also develop, you lose memory also. You develop forgetfulness also. He could not remember anything. So even buddhi to work, even mind to work, all the sense powers to work, for the energy to be there, then prana must be there. Isn't it? Therefore he says what? It is what is understood here. So all other, when the prana left as it were, they also left. When the prana returned, all of them returned. So from this what happened? They all learned the lesson. Then what happened? Having learned the lesson, now all of them, they felt very pleased. Who all felt pleased? Say, sense organs, organs of actions, antakaranam, all these principles, all the devas, they felt pleased. No way they felt pleased. Thank God, prana did not go away for good. They only went out as it were and returned. Even then, when he went out for a while, as it were, we had to leave. We could not stay independently. Understand? Thank God, yes, he came back, so we are here. If the prana went out for good, we all must have gone for good. So they felt pleased that they were not punished. They were only given some, they were only taught. Therefore, they all felt pleased and they started praising, glorifying the prana. This is how pranastuti he starts. This is a context for pranastuti. Context, no, where does the pranastuti comes? Pranasya stavaha katam atra bhavati. The glory of prana is going to be presented. Now, who are going to sing in praise of the prana? All other factors. All other devas. Let me use the word devas. All other devas. Who are other devas? Karmendriyani, Jnanendriyani are all devas. Look at, we don't look at anything as inert matter here. Look at this. Each power is looked upon as the all other devas praise, sing in praise of the prana devata, which forms the pranastavaha or pranastutihi. So pranastutihi starts from the fifth mantra to the 13th mantra, with which the whole chapter will be over. Is it clear? 5th to the 13th. So 8 mantras, we have what? Pranastavaha. If you have any problem, I tell you, if you feel weak and tired, do this tavaha, we'll become good energy, highly energetic. Pranastavaha. Amazing, isn't it? Which other culture teaches this? Any problem we have? Yesterday we had Surya Stuti. And today we are having Prana Stuti. Do the Stuti. Okay? So you don't need to go to pulmonologist. Do Prana Stuti. And he, anywhere really. Everything will be taken care of. So in the fourth mantra, over the fifth mantra onwards, the stuti comes. You got the story, whole idea, got it now? This much is the content of the second chapter. Okay? We are going to see the prana stuti now. We will see the stuti. But I want to understand one thing. See, when I taught you earlier, the Mimamsa. No? The Mimamsa means what? Actually, the analytical study of the mantras, Veda mantras. Whether it is a karma kanda, whether it's a mimamsa here or any mantra, okay, Veda mimamsa means Vedanta or Veda, that is the karma kanda part. When you want to do analytical study of the Veda mantras, we have to follow certain things. So there are some, one of the things which we need to follow is what stuti also. The stuti, wherever the devatas are praised, the stutis are called arthavadaha. Any stuti of any devata is called arthavadaha. Suppose you see, no upakramaha, upasamharaha, artha, no, we have the stuti also comes. So the stuti, seeing the stuti you can make out. In analytical study you need that also. Very important, stuti also. Stuti is important even in the form of, it's called arthavada, to understand. Analyze the mantra. So the stuti is given here, and when the before you always you are asked to dwell upon, meditate upon the devata, it is very important for us to know the glory of the devata. How glorious the devata is. Without reverence, how can you have devotion to somebody? Even to be devoted, to have devotion, to have respect for us to, you know, dwell upon you. To reverence also, very important to know the stuti, the glories of a person, glories of devata, glories of deity. So here also, prana stuti, he is done. Why? Because the next chapter, Hiranyagarbha, as a samashti prana is presented here. So samashti, Hiranyagarbha upasanam is going to come in the next chapter. For which, as a preparation here, prana stuti, Hiranyagarbha stuti is done here. As pranastuti. So pranastuti is what? Pranastuti is Hiranyagarbha stuti. So that you can, later on, you can meditate upon Hiranyagarbha as a samashti pranaha. Okay? So you can go and come.